We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace and glory, how honored we are to be called the children of God, that you should reach from your throne on high and touch us in your grace. May your hand of forgiving love always rest upon us, dear Lord, and guide us ever onward until that day when we see you face to face in glory everlasting. To you be our praise, our joy, and our reason for living. Amen. When I was new in the ministry, it was such a pleasure and delight to host and do weddings, to officiate. But ever since our three children got married, weddings choke me up. I wasn't even able to conduct the wedding for Rachel, Ben, and Joel because I would have been a slobbering idiot. I would have totally embarrassed myself. I was so happy for them, feeling so blessed at the wonderful people they were marrying and so excited for this life of love that they were embarking upon. I was simply just overwhelmed with joy and could barely function. But what would I have been like if all of a sudden the wedding day came and the music started and all of a sudden there was no one who came, none of the invited guests? The pews were empty, the tables were empty, there was no one there. My overwhelming joy would have turned into crushing sadness. I would be beside myself at the happiest day of my life, or one of them, and no one is there to celebrate with me. It would have been the worst form of rejection that I have ever had in my life. How would you feel if it happened to you? Would you cry tears of anguish, or would your blood boil? God cries tears of anguish whenever his invited guests refuse to come to his son's wedding feast. How devastated it is for him to have that rejection. How ungrateful are these servants of the king. How wicked are their hearts when they snub him. All is ready, but they refuse to come to the feast of salvation. Our King invites us to the wedding banquet. Many are invited. Many throw it away. Jesus tells a parable with a point to it. The king sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them, "Come." But they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants that said, "Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. How ridiculous was their rejection. They received a gold embossed invitation from the king to a wedding celebration. And what did they do? They throw it to the ground and stomp it in the mud. So little do they think of their king. They would rather work in their field or in their business and make a little money. They even beat to death the king's messengers. Jesus is telling this parable to the Pharisees and Sadducees, to the teachers of the law and the Sanhedrin. Only days before, they crucify him. They want nothing to do with this Jesus and his invitation. They want to kill the Prince of Glory. You see, these rulers of Israel were used to walking down the streets of Jerusalem in their royal robes and their fancy hats, and all the people would part the way to let these elite pass by. These noble ones wanted to be their own kings. They understood Jesus' parable, that he was condemning them in this parable, but they refused to believe that God was enraged at them. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, he had prophesied that not one stone of the temple would remain upon another. The king would send his Roman army into Jerusalem to destroy those murderers and burn their city. After hearing Jesus' parable, these Pharisees were even more eager to put Jesus to death. Misery and suffering come to all who reject Jesus and his invitation into the kingdom of heaven. Surprisingly, Jesus' parable continues. He's not done with them yet. Then the king said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servant went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now it looked different. There at banquet hall table number 5 sat Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna, Israelites in whom there is nothing false. And along with them sat Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and Rahab, the prostitute, the good and the bad, sinners alike, together sipping the wine of salvation and breaking the bread of forgiveness. At table 10 over there in the banquet hall, we see the self-absorbed American sprawled out. He has come directly from roaming through the sewers of this world. He is sweaty and he stinks from the filth of this world. He has not washed. He is not clean. He boasts. "Hey, I'm glad to be here. You Christians really know how to throw a good party. I bet you're happy that I'm here. It might be nice to be a Christian, but let's not talk about this sin stuff. I'm my own man. I don't let anyone tell me what's right or wrong. I'm going to do it my way. After all, McDonald's has taught me you can have it your way, from cheeseburgers right up to God. I'm a consumer, and consumers are always right. I like it when Jesus tells me how much he loves me. He's kind of my genie in the bottle. He loves to give me whatever I want. But I'm going to be shutting down on him if we start talking about that blood and gore sort of stuff. That's so old-fashioned. The Bible? No one reads books anymore. Leave that to the pastors. I read Sports Illustrated. It has lots of pictures. I'm an American. You have to just accept me on my own terms. You have a problem with that? Then the king told his attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This self-absorbed, unashamed, unrepentant American will be thrown into the fiery lake of hell. He will never taste or be touched by God's mercy, peace, love, or hope ever again. He will only be in a dark hole of anguish and despair. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Our King invites us to the wedding banquet. The Lord God Almighty has chosen us to come and share in His happiness. But what's most remarkable about this invitation is we're not just chosen to be guests that celebrate one time, guests who must leave after the celebration is over. No, we have been chosen by God, the King, to be the very bride of Prince Jesus. The Holy Spirit marries us to Christ, the groom. How can that be? That's impossible. We are guilty of breaking every commandment of our King. We are by nature unholy, filthy. We stink in the nostrils of our Lord God Almighty. But Prince Jesus has come and fought for us, spilled His own blood to rescue us, to set us free. We are washed in His blood and given royal wedding clothes, clean in His grace and mercy. Jesus calls us the love of His life. Our hearts melt in joy at the thought of His infinite love is devoted to us, to the likes of us, and that His almighty arms are wrapped around us. He knew us from all eternity. He chose us, called us, and gave us His name. He put His ring of grace on our finger and made us His own. We're His, and He is ours. Wed to Him, we are safe and loved and honored to be the children of the Heavenly Father and the bride of Prince Jesus. Our seat is not just for one meal and one celebration. No, we have been chosen to be in the family of God. And so we have a permanent chair at the banquet table of God's grace. We have an eternal home in God's heavenly mansion. The two shall become one, Christ in us and we in Christ. The world throws away the King's invitation, stomping it into the mud. Wild horses could not drag them into the banquet hall of worship to worship their Lord and their Savior. But there are those who are chosen. Wild horses could not keep us away from worshiping our Savior in the banquet hall of His word and sacraments. We must worship our Beloved because He has loved us with a holy love. He has chosen us to be His very own, to live with Him forever in paradise. We are the chosen people of God, and so we stand up for our Lord, our Savior, and our King. We would rather suffer ridicule, persecution, and even death rather than throw this holy invitation away. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, Pilate and the Roman officials, all the false prophets throughout time, and those who love this world more than they love their Savior, they have all forfeited the grace that could have been theirs. Many are called, but few are chosen. May we never be ashamed to be that few. May our hearts always be melted in joy to bow before our loving Jesus. Let His will be done. Do our children see the joy in our hearts that we belong to Jesus? Does our family see how devoted we are to the one who is so devoted to us? Do our friends and co-workers see how refreshed, peaceful, and content we are? Because we begin each day and end each night with our beloved Savior's words in our heads and on our hearts. The world has never known such love and peace, but it is ours. Come, share in your King's happiness. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us from the highways and the byways, from the dark recesses of sin and guilt. You have washed us clean in your Son's blood and adopted us to be your very own. May we be aglow in your grace and truth. May we live for your glory. Bless us now and forever as we journey ever forward as your dear children. In Christ our Savior, amen.